This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Man, we're having a good one, although I'm looking out and I can no longer see NRG because it is indeed raining out there.
I don't see any workers on that roof.
Yeah, that's been a weird thing. we've gotten information that the roof should be fully repaired for by Sunday's game. Yeah. And I keep looking out as I look. I mean, thankfully for me, I have that direct vantage point towards NRG Stadium and, of course, John Lopez's beloved Astrodome. And, you know, right beyond where I'm looking at John, I can see that at all times. And I just keep looking at that hole like, I don't see nobody up there.
Where are the cranes?
Right? Like, I figured.
Where's the zip ties?
When does this get done?
Yeah. So, and it's wide open. I drive past it every day. I'm like, man.
So it really, truly, it's not open like they opened it. It's open and it's still not repaired.
Yeah.
Well, come on now.
Last time I seen it.
This has got to be like...
Why are you guys not repairing the roof right when I'm looking?
Got to get those fixer-upper guys here or one of those flip-it kind of guys. All right, here's the job. Need it by Friday.
Now, the real... Yeah, those shows are so fake.
I need it in 3 days.
Okay. Yeah,
we got 3 days to build a house.
Yes.
Well, let's see if we can get Bobby the Builder to be a Mr. Fix-It, because when it comes to Bobby Slowick and this Texans offense, there's definitely something that needs to be fixed. DJ Bienemy, who does great work, ESPN covering this Texas team, he tweeted this out yesterday. And, I mean, it's not like it's entirely novel, but it was something that jarred me into... a certain level of action that took up a good amount of last night and this morning.
You can say it, rabbit hole.
Yeah, definitely went in a rabbit hole. I'll read the tweet verbatim. Texans OC Bobby Slowick has his work cut out for him. Through 3 weeks, quarterback C.J. Stroud has the second most dropbacks on third and longs, right? 7-plus yards. It's a big reason why the Texans are 20th in third down conversion rate at 35%, and the Texans are averaging just 4.5 yards per play on first and second downs, which is 30th. Harder for C.J. Stroud to operate if he's facing longer third downs. Clearly, that's been something that's been a problem, especially when you add those third and longs and they turn into third and longers with penalties, right? Yeah. All those types of things. But I thought to myself, well, huh, why are you having so many third and longs? And, you know, maybe...
what's going on?
Maybe how do you fix it? But, of course, you know, hey, if I had a full answer to that, I imagine I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be coaching somebody's football team, you know? But let's see if we can diagnose why exactly they had all these third and longs.
And, you know, even in this last game especially, they had 14 third downs. 13 of them were over third and
correct.
Third and seven or longer.
Correct. And so that's what I kind of started with, was I decided, as I was trying to find my methodology here, I'm just going to watch these first and second downs. Like, I just actually want to get my eyes on what's happening on these first and second downs. And so you can see I got the legal pad.
Looks like Pender notes.
Yeah, yeah. I am no Sean Pendergast, I can tell you. I didn't fill all the margins and stuff as he will. But I did utilize a couple of pages on the old legal pad looking at the first half of this last game. And I went and looked at all the first downs. And there's a lot. I mean, there's not a lot of third and shorts that, you know, resulted from these. But one of the things I thought to myself was, man, Bobby Slowick, you know, is he utilizing the tools that we typically think of? Or is there maybe a market inefficiency here in the way that they've been going about offense, that maybe if you just flip this switch, turn this knob, all of a sudden you have the easy answer to making this a little bit better. And those things are, especially if you listen to like the smart football folks, you need to be using pre-snap motion, man. And yeah, I mentioned Abigail who put that on the YouTube earlier that, you know, so one of the commentators was like, hey, you can get at the Vikings by using motion. It's like, why didn't Bobby Slowik do that? Well, I used an M on all the snaps that I recorded, all the first and second.
It's a lot of M's.
It's a lot of M's. Bobby Slowik is using a lot of pre-snap motion in the course of this game on first and second down, early downs. And you imagine that, hey, that should help you be productive. And unfortunately, that's not the case. Now, I do want to note that motions are, like, not all motions are created equal.
Yeah.
You know, like, some motions are kind of window dressing. Some motion gets something done. Some motion gets players going early, like your cheat motions and all those things. And I will say that some of the motions that I saw during the course of this game and, of course, the Chicago game that I looked at earlier was, I do wonder what the effect ultimately was, and I'm not necessarily smart enough to give you the full answer on what the effect actually is on the defense, but I could tell you flat out, ton of motion. In fact, clearly more motion than not, and I could count maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 plays in the first half of this game against the Vikings that they did not use motion compared to, I mean, probably a good 12, 13 plays on early downs where they did. So it's not just going to be, hey, they're going to go and use motion, and that'll fix this up. That'll give them more clear picture.
Well, let's talk about motion. I know you have more stuff.
Yeah.
And we want to get to it. But let's talk about what you just mentioned right there with motion. And you had me bringing out my pen and writing down notes.
It's infectious, isn't it?
It is infectious.
Now all of a sudden we got notes and we got things all up on the wall. We got red string looking like conspiracy theorists.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like that Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme that's out there with all
exactly.
the
with Charlie
strings
Day.
Connecting.
Yes.
Strings connecting. So what I wrote down when you were talking about that, maybe it's easier to identify. It's not just window dressing, which a lot of times, you know, you do. They may be one and the same. But is it easier to identify from a defensive perspective the motion that he's doing? Because some are easy. Some I can identify just on the regular TV, not even the, you know, the All-22 or anything. Okay, they're going to do this or they got this going on. You know, maybe that's part of the question. That's part of the answer to why they're ending up in third and long. Or is, you know, by being easier to identify, is it easier to defend? Some motions, and I keep going back to that Chicago game, where it was very, very clear. He was in his bag. It was unique motion.
Yes.
It was two guys moving to one side of the field, one to the other, that kind of thing.
Forcing defenses to change defenders or how they're defending things, forcing them to shift how they're lining up. Yeah, that's absolutely.
So maybe he's not doing enough of that.
It felt like, and of course, I don't have the most trained eye. I am not Seth Payne. I am not Clint Sterner. I can't tell you all of that.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is you could see the instances where the Vikings also were having to shift the way that they were having to adjust. Mm-hmm. They were having to call things, you know, and shift what they were doing to adjust to that pre-snap motion. That was there.
Yeah.
So there's that. Also, one thing that I think a lot of people talk about is, hey, man, the efficiency of running or of passing versus running, right? Mm-hmm. And especially on early downs, right? If you are throwing downs away by running the football, does that feel like that is a factor? Well, I went and looked at kind of first and second downs and whether they were, you know, passing or throwing or passing and throwing, the same thing, passing or running. On first and second down, week three, first down, they passed on 70% of those plays. Clearly, a pretty far disparity to passing the football. Second down, they were passing on 78% of plays. So they were coming out and they were throwing the football. And this is just the first half. This is not like, yo, the game is all the way out of here.
Yeah, or
like
far, where you have to.
Right? Week two, on first down, they were passing on 41%. So they were running more predominantly there. Similar number on second down. So you have two different weeks where you had two different approaches, and ultimately the same result was you had a lot of third and long.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Okay, don't those two things tie together? If it is easier for the defense to identify what you're getting into and then passing the ball 70% of the time. In other words, you're using these motions, you're using these looks, and they've identified them. The only thing I can figure, and we're just sort of talking it out here, what they've done and what you were looking at. The only thing I can figure is maybe he's just showing a lot of the same things that they've seen a million times on film.
Well, one thing I can tell you, one thing I can tell you, and this is one of the things that I'm starting to percolate on, and it's not even like it's novel, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, man, if you run the ball more effectively,
yeah,
you'll have more things available to you, because their success rate when running the football was not good. First down, they had a successful run on 25% of their runs.
Mm-hmm.
Second down this week, they literally did not have a successful run on second down. Like, that was literally tied for the worst, which obviously it can't get any worse, right?
Yeah.
You literally don't have a successful run. And a lot of those looked just basic outside domes, kind of a stretch play, right? It was a lot mm-hmm. of similar. Now, one of the things that you saw week two that was a little different is, and I kind of amazed, and I'm saying this because I was also the one that was like, hey, man, this is kind of wild that you're using this much. Some of those end arounds that were utilized definitely helped them get some successful run plays in week two. And so after being the guy that was like, hey, let's not get too dependent on that, I do wonder if, hey, that was necessary to kind of force defenses to work in different directions and make it get some opening things. But yeah, when it came to running the football better would absolutely help some of this. Another thing that I thought of, especially when you get to like some of the buzzwords that the smart football folks will use when they're talking about having better, more modern offense, play action,
mm-hmm.
right? You think, hey, are you utilizing play action? Are you freezing those linebackers, those second level defenders for a moment, mm-hmm. giving yourself more opportunities to do things?
And what'd you find?
Buddy, in week two, there was not very much play action at all mm-hmm. with the Chicago Bears. In week three, there was a good amount of play action, right? There was a decent amount of play action utilized. It wasn't every time out, but I probably guess when it came to passing plays, maybe about half of the plays had some level of play action look involved here. And that makes it tough, right? Because that's another one of those things where you hope that you put some pause on the defenders. Mm-hmm. Now, it is worth noting that they did a decent job moving the football in the plays that they were able to get off. But play action was there, and you still ended up with some third and longs, right?
So here's where I'm landing with this. So what you looked at really didn't come up with any big-time trend in one direction.
And buddy, that made me feel bad when I put a couple hours work into it.
I think what we're landing on here, at least I am, so I've said this is a passing team. Well, they passed on 70% of the first and second down. They are a passing team. Motions. Well, the motion really didn't really be that successful. Hasn't been that successful.
Overall.
Well,
they had quick passing involved here too.
Okay. Well, the run game didn't have a lot of success on the run game. But no real trend in any of those things that would say, okay, that's why they're caught in third and longs. You know where I'm getting with all this? Offensive line.
Correct. That's where I stopped.
We're back to the offensive line.
That's where I stopped.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that you can see, there were some instances where you had a play dialed up that would have worked, and C.J. Stroud is under pressure and moving. Now, of course, week three, you're talking about a Minnesota Vikings team that was very, very good at this, mm-hmm. At pressuring on first and second down. Week two, at least on first down, they were only pressured on 18% of those first down snaps, right?
So they've tried motion. They've tried passing a lot. They've tried running a lot. They've tried play action.
You need to block it up.
It's the offensive line, people.
That's the spot.
It's the offensive line.
And this is where it gets tough because, yes, Bobby Slowik is his offense top to bottom, right? All the way, right? And so that the play calling is one thing. We got to figure out what the right protections mm-hmm. are, and maybe just down to it, those guys have got to be motivated and they've got to make sure. And I'm not just talking about clearly the holdings, those types of things, you know, making plays harder and negating good plays. Clearly, that is an issue. But even when that is not happening, they need to be up There needs to be better play there, and especially.
I mean, I think it's clear.
You need to be able to figure out a way to run the football.
I think it's crystal clear. We just went through everything, and they've tried everything on first and second down, and have not had the success even in their wins. Outside of when Joe Mixon really started eating, but that was on first, second, third, and fourth down. I mean, that was just a day that he had against a really bad run defense. But they've tried everything. Nothing has worked to get them in third and shorts.
And I won't go so far as saying everything, because again, like we are constantly amazed, or at least I am, at the amount of ingenuity that comes.
But you know what a tell is for me, and this is where it kind of resonated with me. They've had success on end of rounds. Well, the offensive line is not so much. I mean, they have a big job to do, don't get me wrong. But you're getting a guy into open space, and it's deception, you know? It's the offensive line. I said it 1 hour ago. I said this is going
to
be the biggest game.
You beat me to my segment.
Yeah. No. But I'm saying this illustrates that. Because 1 hour ago, I said this is going to be the most important game for this offensive line, maybe ever, but certainly this year. Because you just laid it out after looking at the games, nothing else is working.
Yeah, and I mean, 9-7-9, running play action works with the real run game. It works better when you have a run game, but we've had enough time to look at this. And I say we, I mean like the people who have done the real digging on the analytics of this and trends of this have found that play action is still beneficial even if you don't have an incredible run game. And it's makes sense when you really think about it. Is as a linebacker, think about it. If you're watching a defense and you read our offense operate and you're reading and reacting, that momentary look of, hey, he might hand the football off, even if you don't think that he's going to be great when he gets that ball, your responsibility is still to make sure that you have that run game protected. And so you can freeze that defender for a split second. That creates something that gives you an advantage. Except for the Texans, it has not given them nearly the amount of advantage that they need in order to get them in third and short, allow them to move the football without having to make big explosive plays, big 18-yard plays just to keep drives going.
And then last thing on this, because the 713 brought this up, and I was talking to you about it earlier, a lot of these plays are killed also because of the offensive line in pre-snap.
100%. Yeah. So this is another instance. We're early on in this season, but it's already, put up, shut up, Tom, when it comes to this offensive line. Do you want to be great? Because it starts in the trenches, right? This game in its simplest is about blocking and tackling. Yeah. Getting that blocking done is absolutely necessary. There you go. It's the somebody said, are you going to keep bitching about last week or move on to next week? This is about this week. If you do not put yourself in good situations, you might beat the Jaguars, but you're not going to put yourself in a. You're not going to have an opportunity to do good football things, and you're not going to have an opportunity to be a good football team. And that's what this team needs to be. Mm-hmm. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time to get our lunchtime confessions. But before we get there, 713-572-4610, that is the number to call. And caller number 7 will win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. And you will have an opportunity. You'll be entered at the possibility of winning a grill at the end of the season. So again, 713-572-4610. Caller number 10 will win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Gift Shop. But coming up next, Lunchtime Confessions.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions. All right, so you guys remember Dennis Rodman, right? How could you forget?
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman.
No, I was just playing.
So I usually use him as an example of someone becoming a caricature of themselves. In other words, like when Dennis Rodman was with the Bulls and was a little out there and flamboyant and had a couple of tattoos, he was beloved and it was really cool, right?
Yeah.
Then he became a caricature of himself. He had 700 tattoos. He dressed up, weird. He was in the parking lot with a shotgun doing Lord knows what. Dated Madonna. Wedding dress. So he kind of became a caricature of himself. As himself, he was cool. Then he became a caricature. Which brings me to Sean Pendergast. Which brings me to Sean Pendergast. It was really cool, like Dennis Rodman. It was really cute. It was kind of endearing. when he started with the play just the drop of Taquerias Arandas. All right.
It's Taquerias Arandas.
Yeah, that was cool, right?
The energy.
It was endearing. I heard him this morning, and you will hear it in a second. Like, he's become the Dennis Rodman of Taquerias Arandas. Let's hear it.
Coming up next, but Taquerias Arandas. Speaking of the Astros, Taquerias Arandas. And if you are looking for a great place to go today for happy hour, a little Taquerias Arandas lunch, sit at the bar at Arandas Sports Bar, Arandas Sports Bar locations at Taquerias Arandas. So you can get more information on that at TaqueriasArandas.com. It's Taquerias Arandas.
I love that
what
so much.
What was that, seven?
I love the fact that, I know you edited it, like, obviously.
No, that's at the very end, right?
No, well, that's...
And but you cleaned up some of the middle stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I love the idea. In my head, I was also thinking about, what if that was just the whole commercial, was just him saying Taquerias Arandas. Over and over. I just, yeah, that was the heart of a champion, man. He fought through. He was like,
you could tell that's the sales guy in Sean because he mentioned that like 10 times.
Oh, yeah. And don't get me wrong, this is great for Taquerias Arandas.
Can you give me the very first one? Because it does feel like he did a little bit of a stumble and it was like, all right, we're going to have to battle through this.
Coming up next, but Taquerias Arandas.
You hear right there, Taquerias. Yeah. Like, oh boy, yeah, okay, yeah, we stumbled. Yeah. We're just going to have to power through. And I appreciate that he did because some people would have just been like, well, I am going to anglify it. This is Taquerias Arandas.
Arandas Sports Bar.
That's right. I'm proud of you.
Make no mistake. This is great for Taquerias Arandas. And
a little Taquerias Arandas.
And he's great for him. But, you know, come on, man. Don't be Dennis Rodman.
I like this, man. Watch this. These are
my confessions. I felt really bad. One, because I was supposed to write down my confession earlier, and I didn't do that. So this is one that I'm bringing off the top of the dome. But in watching Area 45 last night, I was listening to the fellas and they were talking about various things. I think one of the things they were talking about was the idea of the, you know, the new opening of the Rockets facility.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let them know. Because they asked the question, I was like, actually, I know the answer to it. And I went into my phone. It's like, all right, Sean Bajani, I don't have his number.
Oh, no.
Tasha Crane, I don't have his number. And I felt bad. I was like, I should have asked for their numbers by now, huh?
They probably texted in the group. You probably have their number. You just don't know who it is. What it is. Yeah, what it is.
Yeah, I was like,
here, I'll give it out to you right here.
Yeah, just go ahead and put that. What was it? I got my pen. I got my pen.
Can I going to have to move like Dan Campbell?
And I was like, I think that I only have... five numbers?
Really?
Of the coworkers, and particularly of the people on air. And that is not everybody.
Yeah.
That's not everybody.
No, yeah. Yeah, you'll get it. Okay. We got to fix that.
Yeah, but I was like, ooh, that I probably am not being a good teammate in having people's contacts available.
But Patrick Crane, I'm just kidding.
Wow. Okay. Are we really doing this? Are we really doing this? Watch this.
I gotta confess this, man, and this is really ridiculous of me, but I really want this Samsung refrigerator, man. They've been showing
those things.
You don't need that. I know. I understand. I know. I just need a regular refrigerator, but this one with the screen and the little,
you can see into it.
Man,
it's gonna cause you heartache. It's gonna sound good, and then when all them features start acting up, you gonna have to have the repairman come through.
Man, they said that about smartphones.
The repairman and the IT man both gonna have to come through.
Yeah, now this ain't the first time they had something like this. They had some older ones and all that stuff, and I do agree. I think those screens did go out within like 2 years, and there was no real update for it. Yeah. So, you know, that was probably a bad investment. But this newer one,
okay. Go ahead, man, and fall for the pump fake.
Hey, this looks clean.
I always wait for like the second generation or third generation.
Yeah, let somebody else figure out the bugs.
You know, whether it's a smartphone back in the day or, you know, we don't have an EV, but if we had an electric vehicle, you know, I'd wait for like the third version of it or whatever.
There are EVs out there?
No, I'm saying we don't have one.
Oh, like having one.
If I were to purchase one, it would, you know, I would have waited, that type thing. Is this the first generation like that? I feel like it's not.
They've been around for a little bit.
But with all those features where you can see into it and all that stuff.
And then the other.
You know how else you can see into it?
Opening it?
Yeah, that's right.
This is the other thing, too. Like, it got the big screen. It got the camera inside. You can see and scan everything you want in there. You can make a list just off the screen. But it also.
So Russia going to know what's in your
Hey, they also have a stove that connects to that. They have a dishwasher that is all connected. And I went down a rabbit hole, man. Yeah. I'm like, man, I want all of this. I want it. I'm going to do what I have to do to get all of this in my kitchen.
Well, I mean, playing with the refrigerator all night.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be playing Candy Crush on the fridge. If you look at the YouTube, Jesse on the YouTube said, I got one fig. It's awesome. But then also on the 409, they said, them hoes is trash.
Yeah, no, garbage, I agree.
It's up and down. Although someone, 713 was trying to give you game. I don't know if I should say this on air because they're not paying me. But you might need to check the text line. Somebody might be have an idea for how you get a come up on one of these.
Okay. It's funny because I told my brand manager and she like, I'm gonna try to get you a sponsorship with them so you could get it.
All right.
I'm like, hey, I'm down with that, but I don't know if I can like pay all of my hard earned money for this. But I want it though, man. I want it.
They are pretty cool. I knew exactly what you were talking about as soon as you mentioned it. I want to do away with some. I always say this, you know, some cliches are okay because they're real. It's okay to say them because they're real. But I want to get rid of this saying or cliche or whatever because it drives me nuts every time I hear it. D'Amico Ryan said it. Doug Peters said it this week. We just got to flush this loss. We don't have to flush anything. Like, I don't want them to flush
it.
I don't want them to flush it.
That was last week. The pass is the pass.
Why are you bringing up old stuff is what they say.
No, but they say it. They say we need to flush it.
We moved on.
I want you to feel that loss and learn from that loss and coach up from that loss. And I know how I feel, and I ain't flushing nothing. I don't want to flush anything. We need to flush this loss. It's also kind of a cop-out.
How so?
It's like it is what it is. I hate that term so much.
I love that.
But sometimes
term.
It do be what it is. What it is.
But there's another way to say it. There's another way to say it other than you can actually, I don't know, answer the question. Well, how'd you feel about that loss? It is what it is. No, that you're not answering the question.
Sometimes it do be it is.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? It be the better team.
Half of 1%.
Sometimes
it is what it is.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, other times it is what it ain't.
99.9%.
I don't know. I'm confused now.
99.5% of the time, it's a cop out.
Hey, you might be playing the better team, and you knew from the jump that you was going to get your ass kicked by this team.
You want to see me roll my eyes?
Hey, it is what it is.
You want to see me roll my eyes? Say it is what it is.
Hey, it is what it is.
Hey, man, but in the words of the great Mookie Wilson, man, they don't was that Oscar Gamble? Yeah, it's Oscar Gamble, actually. Sometimes they don't think it be like it is, but it do. You know what I mean? So
that's a fancy way. That's a cooler way of saying
it. Start saying
that. That's a cooler way of saying it.
Hey, man, baseball players in the 70s and 80s were incredible.
Like, pop outs.
Well, I still enjoy baseball, but them 70s and 80s baseball players.
Hey, you
players,
fumbled three
hilarious.
Times. What happened? Well, it is what it is.
It is like that.
That's a cop out. Just like we got to flush this loss. Watch this.
I found where I wrote some of my confessions. One of them was on Twitter. Watching this game where the Astros did, in fact, clinch the division. It was fantastic. 4-3 victory. I had a Caratini injury flash before my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
He was trying to find the bag on a very simple, put out play at first. Mm-hmm. And you've ruined me.
I have?
You guys have ruined me. I mean, the Astros in general, but you guys have ruined me.
How's that?
Because all the injury stuff, every time it's like, oh, man, there goes an injury.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be a contusion. There's going to be inflammation. It's going to be a
bruised toe.
And all it was him fumbling with his left foot looking for the bag. That's all it was. And I was like, oh, there he goes. He's about to be injured. You guys have ruined me.
Yes.
And I'm blaming you guys.
I'm
you guys are responsible. I'm holding you guys responsible for that.
I'm kind of proud of that.
So, the Samsung fridge got me. Also, Chipotle. Chipotle. They got brisket, man. They got an option for like brisket on the bowl, I kind of want to try it, man. I ain't going to lie. I've been hearing nothing but good things about it.
Are you a brisket snob? Because I know that you enjoy it.
Yes.
Okay.
Freely admit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, mini confession before you finish. If Reggie was talking about the brisket the other day. Was it at the, well, I won't say where it was, but anyway. And I looked at it and I'm like, that's all right. That's all right. Go ahead.
But yeah, I kind of want to go to Chipotle to try it, man. I've been hearing none but good things about it, man. A lot of people been saying it's not bad at all.
Maybe that's what will get me back. I haven't been since I had food poisoning. I think I told you that.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, that's...
And it's tough to walk in. We all can relate to that.
Yeah.
That might be what takes me back.
I want to try it, man.
Yeah. From the 281, we need to flush it because it is what it is.
That's right.
That's not good.
Correct.
That's the double whammy right there.
Well, you know, what it is Lunchtime Confessions, and we just gave that to you here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do a little NFL overreaction or not as we turn the page into week 4. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. And you know what? Sometimes you just need to flush it because it is what it is, and tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, 713. Yeah, keep bringing those. Oh, all the cliches.
The past is the past.
Y'all are killing me.
All the cliches, you know what I mean?
The past is the past.
You gotta
look forward.
Those are all different versions of it is what it is.
You just gotta turn the page.
So y'all are proving my point in a way. Cop out. Answer the damn question. Give us something.
Sometimes it's no answer, though.
No, sometimes no. Like when? Give me an example of where you legitimately the right answer is. It is what it is.
Is it what it is?
Give me one.
It is. It is what it is. yeah, keep sending in all your shenanigans.
Because you're killing me?
That's right. Keep sending all the
with the offensive line, it is what it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not.
Hey,
it's penalties.
That's been a story.
It's focus.
That's been a story in this town for years. That's been a talking point for years.
Laramie Tunsil false starts is what it is.
No.
Yeah, it is what it is.
That's a guy. We all have answers on that, but y'all are helping me out here on my case.
I also love that we got reviews in for the Chipotle brisket as we're about to go.
Yeah, we did.
I will give you the full gamut here from the 832. Not good brisket. From another 832. Chipotle brisket is him. Very good. I'm never saying it different ever again in my life. From the 281, Chipotle briskets is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Makes it actually edible. So whichever one of those you want to take as advice, Lopez, good for you. All right, let's go NFL overreaction or not. We're through 3 weeks of the NFL season, moving into week 4. And as we make that transition, I want your thoughts on whether these are overreactions or not. Play along as well on the text line, 713-572-4610. We begin with John Lopez's Washington Commandos. And Lopez, the Commandos are back. Overreaction or no?
Slight. Hey, can I parse it out? Can I maybe not say wholeheartedly they're back. Boy, they're looking like it. They are. He's the real deal and will be. Maybe he's not all together every week. Talking about Jaden Daniels, but he is going to be the real deal.
So you talked about Jaden Daniels. Are you talking about the team, though? Are you also putting the team in
that? Yes. Yes.
Didn't they just give up 33 points?
They did. No, they did. I think he's one of those guys. And we're seeing it all over television and social media. Like, he's this year's almost literal CJ Stroud, because he was drafted number 2 also. Yeah. How about you?
No, they're not back. That's a little much. Like, I did love that offensively they could do some things. And obviously, I love where Jaden Daniels is developmental-wise. I mean, the fact of the matter, and I heard what Dominique Foxworth, ESPN, he previously played in the league, say this, and I found it to be very interesting, because obviously I was amazed by his willingness to stand in and take hits, especially at his size, right? That was always a question. But stand in, take hits, and deliver really beautiful footballs down the field. But also, just they needed to be consistent. That's one of the things we're talking about with the Texas opponent this week.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, you see some of the high water marks at times. He is far from consistent as a quarterback. The consistency is where it really happens. That's where the magic is, right? The devil is in the details in those ways.
Man, I don't know. I know we're going to get to Jacksonville.
We're just going to keep trying to throw cliches.
Devil in the details. I picked up on that.
Yep.
I know we're going to get to the Jags, but man, since you brought that up, you know, he's been compared to Daniel Jones. He's been compared to... Trevor Lawrence being compared to some of the worst quarterbacks out there. It's getting ugly fast in Jacksonville.
Oh, my bad. I forgot that I did the thing where I used the nickname that I prefer much better than the actual nickname. They are the Washington Commanders, but I have an affinity for calling them the Commandos because it's funny to me.
I can hear they call them the Commodores, to be honest.
The Commodores. Wouldn't hate that, but that feels like it's a little disrespectful to the musicians.
Well, they were easy like a Sunday morning.
That's right. That is indeed right. All right, some more NFL. Well, did you want to weigh in? I don't want to leave you out of this.
Nah, I don't think they back yet. Right. They do have a quarterback, but...
Mm-hmm. All right, how about this? When we continue in NFL overreaction or not, and I agree with you, quarterback is there. Malik Nabers, been doing fun things.
Oh.
Best wide receiver in the 2024 draft class.
Oh, it's not even
Lopez,
close.
Lopez, overreaction or not?
It's not even close. Absolutely. What do you have, 20 catches and 3 touchdowns in 3 games?
So bump Marv. Bump young Marv?
Yeah.
You're not hearing that at all?
Uh-uh. Well, I mean, maybe eventually he'll be in that class, but he's not.
He has 10 catches, 198 yards, 3 touchdowns through 3 games himself as well.
Yeah.
But you're just like, doesn't matter.
That's half.
You've seen what you need to see.
That's cute.
Well, I mean, look.
I'm kidding.
23 He's catches. Really good. I was like, that's a little disrespectful, man. No, you know who his pops is, right? I wouldn't talk like that.
I'm kidding. But I think Malik Nabers is that good.
You feeling the same way?
I think so, too. Not only that, I think he's going to erase the whole Odell Beckham thing in New York.
Ooh.
I think he had the chance to be that good. Now he got to have a quarterback.
But right.
I think just his catches and all that stuff, I think people going to just move past Odell Beckham.
I gave you
it's
all
just
going to
be a moment.
Mm-hmm. I gave you all the hell, Lopez. I agree. I definitely agree. Like he sees like he is out there. Because remember, even with that 271 yards, that was including week one where he felt like he was not used properly. And he was like, you got to go talk to somebody else about it. And apparently they did.
They did.
They were need to get him the football.
Yeah.
And again, that is with the acknowledgement that he got Daniel gosh darn Jones throwing him the football. So, yes, I am fascinated by that. Shout out to the 713 who said you win some, you lose some. That is correct. As well as acknowledging that you can't win them all.
Again, cliches I get, and people use them in different scenarios, but those two are just complete. I don't want to answer the question. Why don't you? I'd have more respect for you if you said that. You know, hey, what about blah blah blah? It is what it. I'd have more respect if you said I don't want to answer that.
I really want to get to the bottom of what the logic is in all of this because I don't feel like I've gotten
it says
something
nothing.
Sufficient to me.
What is it is what it is even say? It doesn't
it's
say
saying,
anything. No, it doesn't.
It's saying a lot.
It says. Nothing. Nothing.
Shout out to 832 who acknowledges that a Commodore is a naval commander, so technically correct by you there.
Okay, all right,
Lopez, let's see as we continue NFL overreaction or not. The Minnesota Vikings, a team that you just saw this past weekend, are Super Bowl contenders legitimately. Overreaction or not?
I don't see how that can be an overreaction now, right now, considering they beat the Niners and the Texans and... They're getting incredible play defensively. Still lead the league in sacks and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely the case. Like, because, again, I think that it's clear the things that are repeatable. The defense is going to be there, right? We saw that, and I think that that exists in and of itself. The offense, also, it feels like Kevin O'Connell gives them a particular schematic advantage with the way that they handle things. And as of right now, I believe that he is the odds-on leader in the Coach of the Year award. And as of right now, it does feel like that's, I mean, you're getting Sam Darnold resurgence within this.
Outside of Josh Allen, he's in the hunt for MVP.
All right, overreaction or not, Sam Darnold.
Overreaction.
MVP.
I said in the hunt. I'm just like crazy now. No, but I'm saying like if you're looking at 3 weeks in, it's Josh Allen. And then who's a bigger contender than Sam Darnold? I'm not saying it's going
to
last.
Yeah, I was like, I need to look at it a little bit further. But okay. All right, I appreciate that. And how about this? When we come to overreaction or not, Andy Dalton will be the Panthers quarterback for the rest of the year.
That's not an overreaction. They're already getting, you know, inquiries on Bryce Allen.
Yeah.
Bryce Young.
But, I mean, I think that question, the idea of the overreaction reality comes from the idea of, hey, Andy Dalton had a great first game.
Yeah.
Does that continue to be the case? So, are we expecting
What's their other option?
Just be,
I don't know.
I don't know that they have one, but I will I'll do some real quick cursory Googling to see what that depth chart is.
Because then they have to go back to Bryce Young.
Correct.
Yeah, and see, that's super tricky too, because like if Andy Dalton is the starter and they're actually winning, then yes, you keep him in. But if he's in there and they're still losing, like at that point, you might as well put Bryce Young in there, man, to see if he can work whatever he got out.
Yeah, I think,
ain't no point
in
having an old ass quarterback in there and y'all kind of like 500 somewhere around there.
I mean,
at that point, you might as well tank.
Yeah, and I think the idea.
But then you're just completely just writing off Bryce Young, which maybe they already have anyway.
It is what it is, man.
You know,
see,
it is just what it is.
281 Rangers, Mariners, and A's all after the Astros won their fourth straight AL West titles. You just got to say it is what it is.
No, you don't.
It just is what it is, Lopez. I want you to accept.
Can you? I asked Figgy. Let me ask you. What are you saying?
This is really bothering.
What are you saying when you say it is what it is? Other than nothing.
The situation is
nothing
here.
You can do about it.
It's that
that's the situation.
This is just
you can't do anything
where
about
the situation is. It is not very there's not a lot of malleability. I think I might have lost a syllable in there. There's not a lot of malleability within the course of this. You just kind of have, there's a level of acceptance within
that's,
the phrase.
That's like,
I have accepted the situation that is here.
That's like the Astro, though. Ain't no point to keep arguing about it. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
But it's not. Like, even what you said, it's not. Like, you just talked like a politician. Like, malleability and all this other stuff. when somebody asked you a question about, you know, again, just any topic.
Now you see the synergy
exactly.
of the situation
yes.
requires determination
yes.
to be foretold. Oh, yeah. But, you know, sometimes you just you win some, you lose one.
Not helping. That's not helping your cause.
That's a little overreaction or reality and a lot of cliches to get under John Lopez's skin here in the Loop. Sports Radio 610. We are hanging out with you till 2, and coming up next, let's go back to the Houston Astros, who again clinched their fourth straight AL West division title. It is their seventh in 8 seasons, and the only season that they didn't was a shortened season. Mm-hmm. And so with that being the case, there were 7 instances that your Houston Astros clinched a division title. Which one of those was your favorite? 713-572-4610. Let's parse that next.